Rachel Severson was fascinated with how children relate to nature. It's what she dug into in grad school. But then her advisor took a left turn and started looking into children and robots.
And I was just outraged. Like, what? Robots? You know, are you sanctioning robots in children's lives?
Wait, why did that seem so repugnant?
I guess I have a concern of us kind of blindly being seduced by technology.
After all, what would it mean to have a robot as a pet or a caretaker? Or a friend.
I think that there's fundamental aspects of our real relationships with real people, real animals that are really important. And those cannot be replaced with technology.
That got Severson wondering about how kids really think about robots. She's a psychology instructor at Western Washington University now. She devised a series of experiments to test whether that distinction between a being and a thing is eroding, with the help of a simply adorable robot.
That is Pleo, and Pleo is designed to look like a one-week-old Camarasaurus.
Your basic blue-eyed dinosaur. But this baby dino is wired. These are just a few of its many features.
Pleo has a series of sensors throughout its body so it can detect touch. It has a gyroscope so it knows its orientation. A color camera on its nose that it infrared interrupters in its mouth. And it also has sensors on the bottom of its feet to detect footfalls.
Pleo may sound mechanical, but it moves more like a kitten. It nuzzles, it tracks your movements, it can curl up and fall asleep. Severson has recruited 90 children to play with Pleo, and also a floppy dinosaur puppet as a comparison, and then answer questions.
All right, so I'm going to let you play with Pleo for a while.
This is a session with 9-year-old Marcus. Left alone with Pleo, Marcus pets and cuddles him, and using a short string, they play tug-of-war.
What Marcus is doing is very gently pulling on it so that Pleo has a chance.
Oh, you won that time.
And then he says, you won that time, right? Marcus could win every time, but why does he accommodate his own behavior so that the robot can win?
Is he just pretending, or is there something deeper? Based on the early data, she hasn't published results yet, it seems like at least half the kids aren't just pretending. They know the robot isn't flesh and blood, but there's a genuine relationship, and they even think the robot has rights. Listen to this session with 9-year-old Brianna. A research assistant picks up Pleo by its tail.
Can I keep Pleo for just 1 second?
The baby dinosaur thrashes around and does this.
So is it okay to hold Pleo by the tail? Why not?
Because that hurts him and that makes him shout, and he doesn't deserve to be held by the tail, because what did he do to deserve that?
He doesn't deserve.
Of course, Pleo is just carrying out its programming, and Brianna and Marcus know that. The kid's response is a little puzzling, but only if you think of things as either alive or not alive. Here's Marcus again.
Is Pleo alive?
Yeah, kind of. He's programmed to be alive.
Okay, so do you think yes, sort of, or no?
Sort of.
They're understanding it unlike any other entity that I can think of. It seems to be in this in-between space.
So are the kids wrong? Or are our categories incomplete?
If I sit her down on the table, she could walk.
This is Marcus, reunited with Pleo about a week after his session with the researchers.
I'd say it's more like a puppy. You don't have to control it. It kind of has fake emotion. It has programmed emotions.
Listening to kids like Marcus, they don't sound naive. It's kind of the opposite, more nuanced than even many adults are comfortable with. Marcus, for instance, has a pet.
It's a leopard gecko.
Would you trade in your leopard gecko for a Pleo?
Probably not, since the pet's actually a living thing. It would be kind of sad to let it go.
Almost all the kids answer that way. And for Rachel Severson, who was so alarmed by children getting too cozy with their robot buddies, that's encouraging.
I guess in some ways I feel heartened because I see that kids are able to make those judgments themselves, and they're not willing to give up the real thing.
Severson says she's come around on the whole kids and robots question.
I find that I'm fascinated with how kids will talk through things and, you know, work out, how do I think about this? It feels like they're in progress of trying to understand the world, where I think adults, we often feel like we've already got it figured out.
And she wonders what happens when these kids become adults themselves. Maybe they'll grow out of it. Or maybe this will be the first generation perfectly comfortable coexisting with things that are sort of alive. Gabriel Spitzer, KPLU News.